Thanks for coming back to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. Well, Christopher Heyerdahl had a great 2011. He started it filming the last of the Twilight movies where he plays the vampire Marcus, one of the leaders of the Volturi Coven. He then went off to film season 2 of the sci-fi hit Sanctuary. If that wasn't enough, during filming, he got word that he booked yet another part as the Swede in AMC's Western Hell on Wheels. Thanks to the producers and some creative scheduling, he would film Sanctuary in Vancouver, leave the set, and rush to the airport. At 6 a.m. the next day, he'd be sitting in hair and makeup in Calgary, ready to film Hell on Wheels. Just the normal life of a busy actor. And Christopher's 2012 just got even busier. It was just announced that he's going to join the cast of True Blood for the new season. How cool is that? I love that show. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every tiny little click does help. I'm serious. Don't forget we also sell casting director and agent mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool actor services and resources available. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Christopher.
So you had a great 2011, man.
Yeah.
You had Hell on Wheels, Sanctuary, Twilight. I mean, has that been the best year so far?
Well, yeah, I guess it has been the best year so far, and as much as I'm alive and well and I'm working, and what other actor doesn't want that, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's been pretty intense. I mean, started off the year doing Twilight, so I'd never been to Louisiana before, and a lot of my friends, not a lot, but a number of my friends grew up there, and so through extended family, I got some great tours of the area. I got to go to New Orleans. I've always wanted to go to New Orleans. So that was a great way to start the year. And then Sanctuary got renewed, which is always a tenuous thing with a show that's privately funded. And within maybe 2 months into doing Sanctuary, I got the Swede on Hell on Wheels. And Chad Oakes and George Horry. Chad is with Hell, and George is with Sanctuary. The two of them got together and said, we can make this work, because it was crazy scheduling that I think any producer just would normally not want to invite into their daily routine, because I was getting on a plane pretty much every night after work and flying up to Calgary or vice versa, coming back down to Vancouver in order to do each show. So it was crazy for them and an absolute blast for me.
So when you were working on Sanctuary, before it was picked up, had you already auditioned for Hell on Wheels? Or how did that come about?
No, it was one of these. I had a buddy of mine who called me up on a Sunday night and said, and now this is, when I say a buddy of mine, I really mean it. This is a buddy who's an actor who called me up. He was getting ready for an audition on the Monday, and he said, I love this character that I'm auditioning for, but each time I read it and each time I go through it, I just keep thinking of you.
Wow.
Are you auditioning for this character? Monday comes, and I'm asked to come in as well. And so, anyway, we're both going in for the same role. And, you know, there's a buddy. There's a true buddy.
Absolutely.
Most actors, the last thing they're going to do is call up a friend who's possibly got a better shot of getting the job than they do. And that's how it started. But I just went in and threw my hat in the ring, did an on-tape audition, and it resonated with them, went in for a call back, and bish, bash, bosh. The rest is, you know what, the H word.
I hope you guys bought that guy a nice steak dinner.
Oh, believe me. Like I say, he's a good friend. So, yeah, we definitely celebrated. Yeah.
So,
pretty amazing.
When they
called you, We were already shooting Sanctuary. And this came along, and they were... the character that I, because I played two characters in Sanctuary, and for the most part, one of my characters had been killed off at the end of the previous season. And so it opened up the schedule. So there was a window where there was a window of possibility there, which allowed me to go into the room and say, okay, you know, it's possible to work this thing out. And the producers were kind enough in Sanctuary to say, yeah, we're not going to block this opportunity. The role is, as far as any role could be tailor-made, the suite is about as close as it gets for me and my background. And
yeah, I was reading that. Man, amazingly close.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's one of those roles you can only hope for in a career. That can be so, well, it's something you have so much to draw on or draw upon. In as much as my father's from Norway, I've lived in Norway before. I've had a number of visits off and on since then and before. So that I grew up with, you know, my father bringing over all sorts of Norskis over to Swedes, even the odd Dane, to have a good time at our house and party until the wee hours of the night. And so I grew up with that, a lot of Norwegian men acting like Norwegian men can act. And it's an interesting, they have a very interesting perspective of the world, quite different from anything that we're used to in North America. So it was fun to be able to draw on that, and hopefully they'll look at it and maybe see a little bit of themselves. Maybe not the psychopathic or sociopathic elements of the character, but just the way he looks at the world. And hopefully I bring a little bit of a flavor of that.
Now, when you first got the sides for the role, how much preparation did you put in it? I mean, because you said, like you said, it so kind of closely resembles you. I mean, did you work?
Well, I've got, you know, aside from when I'm, you know, 40 odd years of hanging out with Norwegians, the Gatons had brought to the table was pretty amazing. The first the on camera or the taped audition that I did without anyone being around, just myself and Jennifer at Kirk Talent here in Vancouver, where I was at the time. She read with me, and there were some wonderful, I mean, the scenes are just so juicy. There was so much there. Then when I went in for the callback, the Gatons had done a bit. So there was more information to draw upon. And then again, when we were shooting, they did more rewrites. So there's a small tome of information about the Swede, about Tor Gunderson, that's there. It was there at the beginning for me to look at and think about and do research on. And, but, you know, it all happened within a period of a week, really.
Oh, wow.
From first taking a look at the signs that I was given to being offered the job.
Uh-huh. And then when you actually get the job, do you just devour like Civil War information and go from there?
You know, I did, and what I focused on, of course, you know, as all actors or most actors anyway tend to do, is we're all a little bit self-centered. Funny that, huh? Is that I was really looking, trying to look at it from the Norwegian or the Northern European, because I didn't know that there were so many Norwegians in particular, number one, in Andersonville, and number two, even fighting in the Civil War. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So that little bit of ignorance, again, maybe from an ego standpoint, you know, I wanted to conquer that bit of ignorance, and so I looked at as much information as I could specifically about Northern Europeans. And I was surprised to find that there was so much, and there was actually a large number of Northern Europeans in Andersonville. So there was a lot to draw on. It was great.
Now, how much?
I mean, tragic. You know, I'm saying it was great. You know, there was all these Norwegians suffering and dying, and in Andersonville, and how wonderful it was to read about that. But it was just it was interesting. A little bit of history that I had no idea about.
Mm-hmm. So how much does wardrobe help you with the character? I mean, you know, you go to set in your jeans and T-shirts, and you come out of your trailer in the you know your 1800s clothing.
It's enormous, the amount of, you know, getting into the, you know, if you want to call it the skin of the character, it's the outer layer. We all sit there and every day most of us think about how we're going to portray ourselves that day. You know, as guys, we may not necessarily think about what's underneath the clothes, but certainly what we're putting on top, you know, what jacket we're going to wear. And for the Swede, he's no different, and certainly someone who is trying to make a very strong impression every day. The fact that you know, I mean, this was a costume that came, you know, it influenced so much of what the Swede does. You know, the fact that he's got that high stiff collar, and even underneath his tunic, he's got a high shirt collar. So it keeps that very straight, stiff-backed, you know, he's not a slouching man. There's nothing slouched in him at all. So that, you know, that costume is just a gift.
So I read that you were shooting Sanctuary one day, and then you'd get on a plane, fly most of the, you know, a couple hours, and then you were on set on Hell on Wheels like early that next morning. And you were just flip-flopping back and forth like that.
Yeah, we would, Gordon McDonald, who's our, you know, mostly our first on, he was usually the one who had to deal with getting me off set of Sanctuary, and they would have to get me, because I'm in prosthetics in the character that I was doing. The one surviving character in Sanctuary was in prosthetics, and so you have to have an hour to get yourself out of that stuff. So they would have to have me off set by 7, out of makeup by 8, in a car by 8:30, off to the airport, and through security and on a plane. I'd get to Calgary by, because of the slight time difference, I get to Calgary sometimes 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then be on set for a 6:30 call, 6 o'clock call.
Oof.
And that happened frequently. So it was, you know, when you're doing, you know the drill, when you're doing something you love, it was great. I remember one night getting off the plane and just the stupid grin started to grow on my face as I was walking through that. I realized that I was commuting to work on a multi-million dollar transport vehicle. Yeah, I mean, it was, it's a pretty nice situation to be in, without a doubt.
At what point are you learning your lines? Like, on the flight?
On the flight, on set, well, you know the drill. We're doing a lot of, what's the saying? We don't get paid to work, we get paid to wait.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of time on set, and usually I don't like to split my focus on set, but in that case, I had to. But it was actually pretty silly to see me in a. I can only imagine for my fellows, they had a good laugh watching me mumbling in a Norwegian accent, going over my lines for Hell on Wheels, whereas I'm dressed up as a Sasquatch. Yeah, there's something a bit odd about that. Yeah, you're not going to see that every day.
Now, you also shoot in some pretty hairy conditions, you know, mud and awful weather, and it looks cold as hell.
Did you just say hairy conditions after
yes,
I said Sasquatch?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's a good segue.
Yeah, nice. but yeah, mud, awful weather, I mean, does that contribute to, I guess, your characterization as well?
Well, I think it's hard not to let It affects everybody. It affects people. Certainly affects the crew because they got to lug equipment around through the mud and rain and sleet and snow and everything in between, windstorms. But that it influences it because it's what these people had to go through. So certainly you didn't have to act, all that stuff. It was muddy, cold, uncomfortable. We were all in period gear. Our boots were wet, and there's only so much you can do to try and dry out a pair of leather-soled boots. Once they're wet, they're wet. Uh-huh. So all of that influenced, and it was a great help for us, and it was certainly an amazing help for Marvin Rush, our DP, in order to create and capture that. I mean, those skies, some of the shots that he was able to get were amazing. Just watching the final episode, and you see some of these skies. I was talking to David Von Enck, and he was saying, you know, most people are going to look at this and think, oh, that was all done in post, I'm sure. That's just too, you know, it's too much. Because this, you know, brooding Bohanna in the final episode, he's searching for Sergeant Harper, and there's this rumbling dark sky on the right-hand side of your screen, and then there's the light sky on the left-hand side of the screen as this man is trying to figure out, is he going to go into the dark or go into the light? You know, it was just amazing. So you had tons of gifts like that from a visual point of view, as well as the fact that we didn't have to go very far to realize what these people had to deal with at the time.
Now, each character you play is pretty much distinctly different. I mean, except for, you know, your height.
You know, sometimes I do walk on my knees, and I just put, you know, my shoes just on my knees and do the shuffle along. I can play a short person. I have no problem with that. I can do that.
Dwarf. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So how did you get your start? Did you have any training? Or
I went to theater school and for a number of years at Studio 58, and it's a school here in Vancouver. I went for a number of years to the Banff Center, and I did my time at Stratford in Ontario. There's a really one of the best Shakespeare or classical theater production houses in North America, and they have really the best voice and movement and text, etc. You know, access to amazing teachers and coaches there. So through the years, you know, we never really stopped learning our craft, and so that's, I guess, altogether, that was almost 10 years of training there.
Do you still get nervous when you audition or when you do a scene?
Yes. Yes. Certainly on the first day. The first day is one of those, you know, I don't sleep the night before. And it's like going to the first day of school, I always liken it to. And it's quite terrifying. And but you know, once it's the same kind of thing. Once that I get to know the people who are there on set or in the cast of the play, or it always becomes more comfortable, and you just get on with the work. But absolutely, it's always a terrifying prospect.
Well, what's the worst audition you've ever had?
Probably. The worst audition. I'm not sure, but I remember walking into an audition. This is when because the first 12 years of my career, I really didn't do any film or television. I was just doing theater, and so maybe let's say 10 years into my career, and I had been working a lot and had a pretty damn good resume as far as I was concerned. So I walked into a television movie of the week, audition. I'd done my research on the director, and you know, he basically was a movie of the week director, and you know, he'd done his fair share of stuff for the last 10 years. Say, and I walked in, and he looks at my resume, and sitting behind his desk, and he looks at me and looks at the resume. He says, "So, you want to be an actor?" Well, let's say that the audition didn't go very well. From then, I kind of took umbrage to that comment, and needless to say, I didn't get the part, but I had a good time expressing myself.
I'm sure you did, yeah. Yeah, you're also in Twilight.
Yes.
So what, I guess from your perspective, it's a huge, huge series. From your perspective, what is that like, seeing how, I guess, the you know, the world, younger people react to the film?
Well, the amazing thing is, it's not just young people. I've gone around and done a number of appearances promoting the show, and it's all ages. And the majority of them are female. The more romantic set. I always think of it as from a literary standpoint, because I'd heard about the series through my nieces and my cousins, my young female cousins, and they were passionate about this story for a number of years before the films came out, of course, so when I had the opportunity to become a part of it, and I was, you always want to do something that will resonate with an age group, and certainly in your family, that they might not necessarily be able to watch other things that you do. And so having something in the canon that is child friendly is something that's always something that's interesting.
Yeah.
And certainly, and as the stories progress, they get a little bit more mature and expand. But being part of something that's so, well, it's a phenomenon, let's face it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't come along very often. So purely from, what is our greatest thing as an actor is our power of observation. So something to take in, it's really been amazing, and who knows if I'll ever have an opportunity to be a part of something that is so widespread. So it's been quite a trip. I brought my wife down to take in she's a high school teacher, and I invited her, so she walked the carpet with me the last opening, like Breaking Dawn Part 1, and just for her to also have the opportunity to take it in and see what it's like to be on the receiving end of that kind of energy.
Finally, what's your advice to actors?
Well, I believe heavily in learning the craft, and I'm someone who obviously decided to go to school to focus my... Certainly for the majority, as I say, the beginning of the first 12 years of my career was focused only on theater. And for me, the majority of people whom I've worked with who have that as a base, they have a more of a general understanding of what story is, of what everyone does, in order to create either a play or eventually a film or whatever the medium is. I find the actor more well-rounded. So I would suggest to every actor to go to school and learn the craft, learn the history. And exercise the instrument.
Yeah.
Take voice classes. Work on the body. you know, the every aspect of this instrument that we have, and learn your limitations, learn, you know, push those limitations, get yourself into a situation where you have the opportunity to surprise yourself and go beyond what you ever thought. You know, get out of your comfort zone, I suppose, is the best thing for any actor.
Well, thank you so much for giving me a call.
My pleasure. I appreciate the interest, and I think what you've created is a fantastic thing for actors to draw upon, and it's a wonderful thing. So I appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, Christopher, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.